pronounce the words correctly. Well, I just want to just share a little bit concerning my relationship with this guy sitting back here. We've been friends for quite a few years. As a matter of fact, the other day I was talking to a lady and said, "Who do you, the pastors, need minister to too?" You know, we get a lot of calls and we get a lot of ministry and deal with this and that. And I said, "Who do you go to?" And I said, "I go to my brother Jim Dell down in Stanton, Virginia." And Jim and I, we can get together and let our hair hang down. So he's been a friend for a long time, of course, with Janie and Frida. They have their way. They together both have their hearing aids, their ear problems. And they said, "What you say?" and gardening. My wife, she loves gardening. Of course, Janie loves gardening. And so they have a lot in common. We have a lot in common. And Jim and I, sometimes we get kind of crazy. And so I think we're allowed to do that, aren't we? But it is good to be here. I've been pastoring Shady Pine Mennonite Church for just almost 16 years now. I was in Elder for about 5 years. So I've been in ministry for quite a few years. Before that, I did some evangelistic work. And so I'm not new to the church stuff. But I enjoy pastoring my church because it's a unique bunch of people. A lot of them are community people. A lot of them are family. And sometimes that's not easy. One Sunday I counted, I think there was 14 cousins up there in my church. And so we have a lot of family. And some have moved in. Families have moved in from outside. We're just one big family there at Shady Pine. And Glenn here, he's a little familiar going up 75. He is almost right by our church. He's about a mile and a half off of 75. And get up that way sometimes and just venture up into the mountain there. And, you know, I'll show you some hospitality up there. Mac and Green's called Shady Pine. Well, this morning I want to talk about something that I think is a very well needed in each one of our lives. Some of you might be experiencing it, some of you might not be. A passion for God and His presence. And you have your Bibles, turn with me to Psalms 63. Psalms 63. I'm going to read these few verses, then we'll go to a couple of other scriptures in Psalms that relate to one another. Psalm 63, verses 1 and 2. David said, "O God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My body longs for you in a dry and weary land where there is no water. I have seen you in the sanctuary and beheld your power and your glory." We'll stop there now. Let's turn to Psalms 27. Psalms 27. I'll be reading verse 4. Psalms 27, verse 4. "One thing I ask of the Lord, this is what I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to seek Him in His temple." Now let's turn to Psalms 42. Psalms 42. Verse 1, "As a deer pants for the streams of water, so my soul pants for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When can I go and meet with God?" One of the commonalities of these three scriptures that catches my attention is this. The psalmist had an appetite for God and His presence. A better expression would be a hunger or a passion for God. And something else I see here. The psalmist, they had a continuous, intense longing and passion for God, not just for a one-time deal. It was for a lifetime. It was for a lifetime. I was thinking as I read these scriptures and I was trying to come up with someone in the New Testament, in the Gospels, that would have had this kind of passion. David, of course, in the Old Covenant. But in the Gospels. Now, who could I pick out of would have such passion for God? I found it. Turn with me to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. Do some scripture jogging here this morning. Of course, I'm talking about the prophetess Anna. And we're going to pick it up halfway in the middle of verse 36. It says, she was very old. She had lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage. Verse 37. And then was a widow until she was 84. She never left the temple but worshiped God, worshiped day and night, fasting and praying. You hear that? I can't imagine that, Jim. I'm in my study for about an hour and I'm ready to go get a cup of coffee somewhere at times, you know. I need to be on the go. But this lady spent time and time and time in the presence of God. And, you know, this indicates to me that she had an unusually close relationship with God. Before I go any further, let's get some definitions here. Let's define the word passion. Passion is any kind of feelings by which the mind is powerfully affected or moved. Passion is a feeling that moves the mind and will to action. And the term passion covers a whole range of feelings that are appropriate to loving God. For example, things such as desire, longing, zeal, affection, craving, and hunger. And what stands out with all of these terms is they are all characteristics of a person deeply in love. Anna was deeply in love with God. David was deeply in love with God. Now we're going to jump to Philippians. We're going to talk about another man who I feel had such passion for God. And his name is Paul. Turn with me to Philippians chapter 3. Paul is my favorite character in the Bible. I study a lot. Intensely. Diligently. That Paul's teachings. Sometimes, as Peter said, they're a little hard. Some of his teachings are a little hard. Well, they are. I question him sometimes, but he's a man. Chapter 3, I'm going to be reading verses 10 and 11. Paul says, I want to know Christ and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in His suffering, becoming like Him in His death, and so somehow to attain to the resurrection from the dead. Let me read the Amplified version here. It reads this way. For my determined purpose is that I may know him, that I may progressively become more deeply and intimately acquainted with him, perceiving and understanding and recognizing the wonders of his person more strongly and more clearly. Wow. I believe Paul did not want to speculate about his God, but he wanted to know him intimately. And I believe when he was on the verge of death, being put to death, there was such a passion for his Heavenly Father that he welcomed it. He welcomed it. And if you don't believe that, let's just back up to chapter 1 of Philippians. Let me read verses 21 to 23. Chapter 1. Paul says, "For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. If I am to go on living in the body, this will mean fruitful labor for me. Yet what shall I choose? I do not know. I am torn between the two. I desire to depart and be with Christ, which is better by far. But it is more necessary for you that I remain in the body." Wow. Wow. How many of us are there? Have you wrestled with this whole matter of your relationship with Jesus Christ, spending that very wonderful, it's like words cannot really express when we're in that relationship with God, when we're communing with God, when we're in His presence, we're supping with Him. And Paul, can you picture Paul wanting to go be with Jesus and knowing at the same time God wasn't done with him here. Now, I haven't got to that place yet, I'll be honest with you. And maybe I need to think more of my heavenly home, going to be with Jesus for eternity in a place called heaven. But God's not done with me yet, neither. But I think we need to have the attitude that, hey, you know, if I leave today, we had an office just telling Jim about Elon Hostetter. His brother said, well, Elon just said, you know, he had high blood pressure, they couldn't get the blood pressure down. He said, well, he said, you know, whatever. He said, well, my time's up. And of course his time came up and he was long gone. But maybe we need that. Maybe we need to think that way more. We don't know how long we're going to be here on this earth. We can be as healthy can be, and something can happen that God takes us. But passion, having that passion for God's presence. We're doing a teaching at church. It's a video on prayer. 4 segments of prayer. Simple. 4 simple ways to pray. Number 1, we speak. Number 2, God listens. Number 3, God speaks. Number 4, we listen. Simple as that. But in the video, the instructor makes it pretty clear that it's easy for us to send up our petitions, right? Go to God, come before God, say, God, you know, I need this, I need that, I got to pray for so-and-so, I need some finances here, I have a bill coming in, and so on. But then we get up and we walk away. And we don't take the time for God to speak to us. How many believe God speaks to us? I'm glad to see those hands. Did you know what I did? After the video, a couple Wednesday nights ago, I said, let's take about 10 minutes and just come before God and ask Him a question. Just ask Him a question and expect Him to answer. Okay? So there was silence there, and I thought it was a long time myself. 10 minutes was a long time, Jim. And finally I said, okay, time's up. Okay, response. One lady, she never would keep her trap shut, this is just kidding. She said, I had an awful time trying to just sit here and listen. She said, I wanted to pray up a storm. And almost everybody said they had a difficult time. It wasn't easy to just wait on God, to listen to His voice, to hear Him, because He does speak. So it's a challenge. And I believe with the Apostle Paul, he had faith, he had this relationship with God that was so, I think it was just so special. Intimacy was involved there. And Paul heard God's voice very much so. I'm going to ask a few questions. Now, I already asked myself these questions, so I'll ask you the questions. Okay? I answered my questions. What kind of passion do you have for God this morning? Or do you have a passion for God and His presence? To be in His presence? You don't have to answer that. Just ponder on that. What kind of passion do you have for God this morning? I'll be honest. We preachers can be on the go and running here and running there. But the most important thing of all for a pastor is to be in the presence of God. We have so much to do, but yet, do it. Are we filled with God when we meet people? Have we spent that intimate time with Him? So that's the question. Question number two. Do you desire to have that kind of relationship with God? Is it on your agenda to have that kind of relationship with God? We can read Scripture. We can pray. But do we have a desire to be in God's presence? And more I realize that when I'm really in God's presence, I'm saying very little. We can pray up a storm and call it a beautiful prayer and walk away. I believe to God that's not even a prayer. That's a bunch of babbling. We need to give Him either equal time or more time. Reed and I are trying this, and it is hard. Because we just want to just go on and on and on and pray for our kids, pray for the church family, things. But not listen to God. Number three, are you willing to guard your relationship with Jesus Christ above any good thing? Are you willing to guard your relationship with Jesus Christ above any good thing? Let me name some good things. This might surprise you. Doctrine. Denomination. Theology. Ministry. Activity of some type. An abstract principle or whatever. They're all good, aren't they? But remember this. Not one of those things died for you. Not one of those things died for you. Jesus Christ died for us. I believe God is wanting a people that will do all we can do, every ounce of energy if needed, to spend time with Him. To have that intimate relationship with Him. I looked up the word intimate in the Webster's. It says, marked by a very close association, contact, or familiarity, or marked by a warm friendship developing through a long association. So it's not just a, okay, once a month thing or once a week thing. It should be developing day by day and day by day. Let me ask you another question. I know we've all been there. We've all had those special times with God. How do you feel when you get up off your knees or get up off your easy chair or when you're out in the mountains somewhere? How do you feel? I tell you, I feel like I'm in cloud nine when I spend time with God. And it seems like all these problems that were way up here seem like they're way down here. They're not quite as big as they were before. It's because of the presence of God, being in His presence. And I believe in the last days. We're in the last days. I believe that God wants us to develop that kind of relationship with Him, because the Bible says, according to Paul, it's going to get worse and worse. Now that's some hick talk there. It's going to get tougher and tougher. But I believe we can get better and better. And we can get more happier and happier. Or maybe that's not the right word. We can have more joy than we've ever had. We can experience peace through the storms of life. God didn't intend for us to be moping around. He didn't intend for us to be defeated. And a lot of times, let's face it, we're walking in defeat. You know, Satan's getting the upper hand. But we can walk in victory, and we can have the peace that the Bible talks about. It's beyond our understanding. We don't understand. Nobody understands. But we don't have to. We can experience that peace. And it all comes from our relationship with Jesus Christ. Spending that time. Can you imagine Anna, getting back to Anna, in that temple, day in and day out, hour by hour, just in God's presence? Can we get to that place where we can turn our minds off? Our minds are so full. Can we get to that place where we can just say, okay, God, it's just me and you? Is that easy? It sure isn't easy. But we've got to discipline ourselves to get to that place. And again, and when we come to that place, if we spend that time, I believe the world's going to see a different type of church. See, I don't believe God intended us just to be doing and doing and doing. He intended us to become more and more like Him, being more conformed to His image. There's a verse in the Bible that I remember I said some years ago. It's 2 Corinthians 3:18. And I memorize it from the Living Bible. It goes like this. We Christians should be mirrors which brightly reflect the glory of God. And as the Spirit of God works in us, we become more and more like Him. So if we want the world to see us, we need to reflect the glory of God. And as the world sees us, and I'm going to just say one thing about the government in my message this morning. We need to be praying for our government. I am not in agreement, and this would be my only thing that you can question, or you can question some other things, but my Bible tells me I'm going to be praying for those in authority. And what happens? If we do it the right way, we will have peace and quiet in our lives. I am not going to try to change the government. That's up to God. But God makes it clear in here, Paul says, first of all, pray for authorities. Pray for those in offices. And I believe if the church is full of tithes, the way the government is, because we're slamming the government, we're just, you know, saying things we shouldn't be saying about it. If we do it the right way, I believe we can make a difference in the government. You'll hear an amen. Amen. Brother Ben. But see that block of time that we're pointing fingers and we're trying to change the world, we could be spending time with God in His presence. And as we spend time with Him, we come up full of power and full of God's love, victory, and we can be overcomers, even in a mean old world as it is. I'd like to just have a prayer for you guys, and I wrote this prayer down, and it's okay to read your prayers in a gym. I'm going to read a prayer, and this is for all of us this morning. You know, I want to be, my life be characterized by an unrestrained affection for God. You know, I just want that passion. And when I preach a sermon like this, words don't always come. I could preach some other sermons this morning. This is what I felt God wanted me to share with you. And in conclusion, I just want to pray this prayer. Heavenly Father, we stand before you and acknowledge that we need more compassion for you in our relationship with you. We desire to be more like the psalmist. We desire to be more like Paul. And we declare this morning we will begin to pursue this kind of relationship with you with the help of the Holy Spirit and encouragement from the Word of God. We thank you for your patience with us as we begin a process that will revolutionize our lives. We love you, Lord, and we do want to know you, and we want to progressively and intimately know you. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, and it's been a pleasure to be here at Stanton Mennonite Church and be with you.